This is the GNSO wrap-up meeting held in Constellation Room on Thursday, October 16, 2014. This session will run from 12 o'clock to 13:30 local time. Check, check, hey, hey. Can you hear me now in Verizon? This is the GNSO wrap-up meeting, held in Constellation Room on Thursday, October 16th, 2014. The session will run from 12 to 13:30 local time.
Really interesting things. Hi, everyone. Let's give it 1 minute and then we'll start. If I can just check that you guys are okay with the recording. You're all right at the back there? Great. We'll just give it 1 more minute and see if we get a couple more people here. I see we've got a very good attendance from our new councillors. Okay, everyone, I suggest we get going now. It's 10 past the hour, so we might as well get things going. Welcome to the final GNSO meeting of the LA of ICANN 51. Just for those of you who haven't participated in this meeting before or been aware of it, the purpose is simply to try and scoop up and wrap up topics that have come up over the over the meeting from Saturday through Sunday and the Wednesday meeting. So it's really an opportunity to pick up any loose ends and make sure that we direct our efforts going forward properly. So, if there is this is a list that has been compiled with the assistance of staff as we've gone through. Normally, what I do is I typically read through this in the morning and try and structure it in certain ways. I think I've had a quick skim read of it. I think it's relatively well structured anyway. So, thanks to staff for pulling it together. I think I'm just going to work through it in order. But if you think there's an item that you need to see covered, please bring it up at the right time or at the end if there's an appropriate time as we go through it. So first item we've got is an update from the Board GNSO informal group on the purpose of GTLD registration data PDP. I don't see anyone around here other than Marika, who was there. I know Avery was there. Was anyone else there? You fancy giving it a go, Marika? Giving an update on that? Caught you on the hop. I mean, I could do something, I guess, and I'll...
Yeah, so this is Marika. So this was, you know, the first informal meeting, and I think, you know, one of the things coming out of it that future meetings, you know, will be recorded and transcribed, so others have a chance to follow conversations as well. As, you know, for this meeting, it wasn't possible as it was set up relatively last minute, and there were no AV facilities in the room we had. So I think what we did at the first meeting was really just to try to get to a common understanding of where we are at the process. And I'm actually seeing Susan was there as well. So there is someone else that was there too. A common understanding of where we are at in the current process, and as well trying to see what may potential next steps be. I think one of the suggestions that have been made is that we may need to look at the EWG report to determine what the policy issues are that are within that report, and see if those are the ones that should actually be moved into a new issue report, recognizing that, you know, the previous one may not be up to date anymore or not easily adjustable to, I think, what we're trying to do now, which would also allow us then to provide a draft charter as part of that preliminary issue report for public comment and then basically move forward from there. So I think the next conversation probably will go around, you know, is that something indeed that everyone feels is the appropriate next steps? I believe that I think staff is committed to try and come up with that list of policy items from the EWG report. I think there were already some general principles that were shared that probably formed the basis of that, and I think that's where the group is moving towards, and I think we said a next call in 2 or 3 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. And if I missed anything, please feel free to add.
This is Susan. So I think the fundamental question that this group is going to have to answer and then take it to the GNSO is, do we want to remain with the old system, or do we want to move forward to something else, some version of EWG? So I think that will be a sort of crucial question that we ask and discuss in this group. So,
thanks both. I think the other thing that I remember, Marika, is that there was going to be some sort of output from that first meeting. There's going to be some kind of minute or communique at least, so we can expect to see something. So I guess from the council point of view, the next step is that when that communique comes out, we should share it with the council, and just because this is a pretty fundamental question here that's being grappled with rightly by under Steve's initiative, is to try and understand how this unique setup of a board-initiated PDP together with a board-commissioned EWG, how these things are handled in the policy process. So I think from the council point of view, it's up to us to keep a close eye on the mechanics of it and be satisfied that the representatives working on it and or the council is okay with where it's going, and if not, that we feed that back from a sort of policy process point of view. Any other comments or questions on that? Lars? Fine. Amma, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, Lars. This is Amma. I just wanted to put in a little comment on what Susan just said. And what I am hoping this group will do is not determine whether we want to do something about who is something that is slightly consistent with what the EWG report has recommended. But what this group should do is trying to work on the process on how a PDP working group will decide whether we want to do something about who is or not. That's one comment I wanted to make. And I also wanted to ask if it would be possible if these meetings between the GNSO and Board the Little and the informal group, if those meetings could possibly be live streamed as well, similar to GNSO council calls, as opposed to just recording and transcribing them. Thanks.
Okay, well, we can certainly, on the latter point, we can certainly take that to the group. Stephanie?
Stephanie Perrin. I have a question about a lot of these documents related to the who is, and I raised it in that all things who is. We don't really need a map as much as we need a documented change record of where the decisions are actually coming from. So I, for one, don't understand the 16 agreed purposes that the EWG came up with. If I were looking at all of this as a policy document, I'd have a footnote as to when we agreed that these were acceptable purposes, with a cross-link to the new cross-community working group that's coming up with acceptable purposes. Do you see what I mean? And I'm looking at Marika, and I'm sure she's thinking, oh dear, that sounds like a mountain of work. But honestly, I don't see how one can decipher what's being decided unless we actually know the decision tree, the legislative record, if you will, of when all these changes came through and who agreed to what.
So, Marika, you want to say something?
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm not exactly sure, I think, the point you're making, but you know, this group between the board and the GNSO is no decision-making body whatsoever. It's purely looking at what should the next steps be, you know, moving it into the policy development process, where then those decisions are going to be made. So I may be misunderstanding what you're specifically asking for. If I can just make one point as well on live streaming, I think we're currently foreseeing, you know, the standard what we're doing for any working group is having recording and transcriptions. I think live streaming adds a whole dimension to it. And again, this is a real procedural discussion. This is no decisions, no substance. It's really trying to outline what the path is, and any of that will come back to the council, obviously, for, you know, feedback and input. It's purely to move the discussion forward and have that dialogue with the board, as they were the ones who initially requested the PDP.
Stephanie, if I may, just to come back on that before, I sense you may want to make a response, but just to talk with you, because I think your name might have come up as a prospective member, and you are indeed now a member of that group. But the whole, so the way the council approaches, and you may have been listening in on that particular council meeting anyway, but the council took a view that primarily this was less about subject matter expertise per se, and more about kind of process and knowledge expertise, so that we kind of sought to integrate the work of the EWG consistent with GNSO processes. Go ahead.
Yes, I understand that, and process is not my forte, and certainly not ICANN process, I can assure you. No, my intervention here is really about how do you throw pieces of the EWG report, just as an example, to a working group and have them refine things and have them clearly understand that this bit comes from the 2013 RAA agreed specs in the contract, and no, you can't change it. This bit here is an idea coming from the EWG. This bit was agreed in a working because the document itself is not footnoted with that kind of detail, and it's quite hard to follow.
Okay, Marika, are you going to come back on that?
Yeah, this is Rick. Just to respond, I think some of that will be in the issue report, because basically there we'll try to bring all those pieces together that help inform the conversations. But part of it will come as well in the PDP working group itself, where, you know, people will need to say, well, this bit, you know, is, I want to bring it into the conversation coming from here. So I think it's part of the process, because, you know, the PDP itself, there needs to be documentation of where things are derived from, how it was considered, you know, why it was maybe discarded. So I think there should be that trail normally.
Back to the open meeting I think we did agree that it would be anyone could observe through Adobe to the next phone call, and there would be an email archive.
Yeah, it doesn't work. The challenge with that is how you set it up, because if people are in Adobe on audio, they can also talk. So how do you then... For the council, we do a separate streaming, which needs, you know, IT support. And so, I mean, we can take that offline. I mean, there are different ways, but yeah. Okay.
Let's consider that the council to be updated about where that's going now, unless there's any other points anyone would like to make. But that feels like we've got a pretty clear idea of what's going on there. Next point says... seeks to do two things, really. Remind you, one, that there will be a survey that comes out of the work we did on the weekend to check how it worked for you and understand how it went, what could or couldn't be done differently. But I guess there's an opportunity quickly to comment now in, you know, either to affirm elements of the structure or... I'm not even sure it needs to be confined to the weekend sessions, Marika. I mean, for example, we could deal with the Tuesday... or anything else, CCNSO. So a quick update, if anyone's particularly strongly supportive or not supportive of any element of the scheduling at this meeting or you know, the way in which it's been managed. Carlos?
It was wonderful. Yeah, great introduction. Just in terms of the process, and I love the flexibility you had over the weekend to adapt the agenda. When we have the list of the PDPs and cross-community working groups that is growing, we're jumping from one to the other and so on. And you mentioned yesterday about this way to report on all the processes ongoing, and this is just a very small suggestion. If we could have a list of numbers of the ongoing PDPs and a list of numbers of the cross-country community working groups, maybe divided into colors, and we keep track of all the meetings we have with this number, like when we have a PowerPoint, it would be very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thanks. I think, Carlos, there is that. I mean, I think that's the schedule we publish on a spreadsheet immediately prior to the meeting. You may not have got that being an incoming councillor, but I think if I understand what you're referring to, maybe Glenn or you could send to Carlos what we had for this meeting. Is that what you're referring to, Carlos?
Yes, it's wonderful. We have different sequences of talking about the same issues. One PDP was discussed on Saturday early and the other one on Wednesday late. And it's the same, but the titles are so long. I would miss to have just a number. This PDP
okay,
is number
I see what you're
one.
Just
so we keep track of
PDP
these.
PDP 1, PDP 2, PDP 3.
Exactly. Just a simple numbering. Yeah. And maybe a difference between PDPs and cross-community working groups would make it easier to track down the list. By now we have 12 discussion lines, and it's getting a little bit crowded. I would say people at Avery, they dominate that, of course, and they have no problem. Thank you very much.
So certainly I feel like we've settled on a decent schedule for Sunday morning with that meeting with the GDD, with Teresa, with Fadi and the board. And I felt our Sunday, and I must say it to you guys, I don't know if anyone said it to you, but certainly a number of people came up to me after the board meeting and said, that was great. We had a substantive discussion with a civilized tone, and we really felt like one of the best meetings we've had with the board. So I feel like we're getting into a rhythm. That doesn't mean we should be complacent, but it does feel like we're getting into a mechanism of dealing with the issues we need to... So Sunday felt good. Saturday was also okay, I think. It wasn't... My only thing is just reminding you of the purpose of Tuesday, that Tuesday session, which is really if there are any contentious or other issues, as we said in the meeting yesterday, there's an opportunity to come together at Tuesday after constituency and stakeholder group day to deal with those issues. David?
I just wanted, having been involved a bit in the meeting planning this year... we really, really do want to hear from councillors about how you feel that, particularly that Sunday morning session. We do invite senior staff. We really do, what do you think the balance of which senior staff we invite and who else we might want to talk to. But if you don't tell us anything, we'll probably just do the same. So if you are dissatisfied or would like to see anyone else, or please just let us know, and we really are very open to who we have in that session. And I just wanted to reiterate what Jonathan said about that. The reason we have that Tuesday night is not just to give us another opportunity to grab some free drinks. It really is so that we can have any last-minute sort of things crop up. So if you are going to... I don't want to single out Brian, but but if you are going to give us an amendment, please, we'd love to. Just even that few hours extra would, even if it's just an informal heads up, rather than a properly worded amendment, would be great.
Brian, was that a hand?
Yeah. Brian Winterfelt for the transcript. I just want to point out that there were very similar last minute negotiations on a motion in London. There was no similar grilling or pointing out and finger pointing, but that's okay.
Thanks. I really, my purpose is to make it clear to incoming councillors what, you know, because I think there's a whole structure and function, and there's often a presumed knowledge about what the purpose of each of these things is. Volker?
Yes, just from my recollection, I might be wrong, but I think in London there was an announcement that there would be something forthcoming, although the nature of the amendment wasn't clear yet.
Okay, well, let's not get into too much of a rat hole on that. What else on any other issues about scheduling and organization or content of the meetings? Thomas?
Regarding the Sunday mornings, maybe I'm the only one, but if so, please let me know. But I think that the presentations that we get are the presentations that the speakers make in lots of places during the week. And so... I'm not sure whether we could maybe make more out of the FaceTime with these senior people that we invite to come to us, rather than hearing something that we usually hear like 4 or 5 times during the week if we want to. So maybe there is a possibility for us to get some heads up on what they're up to in advance, so that we maybe can prepare better and have a more in-depth discussion without getting the presentation part of it. You get my point?
Well, I think I get your point, but I'm not sure I agree with you in this instance, though, only in the sense that I don't recall, we didn't have any slides from the GDD people. We had a handful of slides from Teresa. Fadi didn't produce any slides, so...
I'm not only referring to this last weekend, but, you know, the... If we talk about Sunday mornings, I guess that's more a general notion of what's happened in the past. I think this one was particularly good.
Yeah, it felt.
But
so
we had a lot of meetings over the last couple of years where I thought that I'm moving to this time machine where I'm presented the same things over and over again during the week.
So my challenge to you is that those were previous problems that were perhaps addressed by this time we met this time. So I think that the point is to affirm the value of the way we did it this time. Is that right? I mean, was it done relatively well this time?
And for planning of future meetings, to make sure that we don't move back to the old type of format. Yeah. I think that goes to the vice chairs who are responsible for organizing the meetings, that during the preparation this point might be made.
Any other comments or issues about the scheduling or organization of the meetings? All right, well, we'll thank Brett for organizing Saturday's dinner. It was a great evening. Thank you very much.
I think it was the best food we ever had at one of those dinners.
Yeah, well, next time we're having rainbow trout and glazed carrot, I'll have you know. It's a good point, actually. I just thought I'd take it that while we're talking about structure and organization of meetings, As part of tomorrow's session, as you've now seen, there's a session that really runs kind of 9 to 5, 9 to 6, where we work through systematically orientation of the council in the GNSO, how things are going currently, how they might be done better, making sure that everyone's... And then it goes on to an informal or semi-social function in the evening. And there were a number of things considered, and we settled on this kind of cooking school thing. But it turns out that there's actually a relatively small turnout. There's only about 10 people who are interested in going to that. So the question really is, should we cancel it? Does it make sense still to carry on with that? I mean, there'll be a cost associated with it. Sure, we won't bear the cost. I think ICANN's bearing the cost for us. But nevertheless, the question is, with that low number, is it still of value to do that? How do people feel whether you're attending or not? Because I wouldn't mind some guidance. I mean, because in the end, we don't have to solve next year's one completely now, but at the very least, we should decide shortly whether... Yeah, go ahead, Avery.
I actually think that for that sort of thing, it's actually good to check with people first, and if there was a set of possible activities. Now, if it's an integrated part of some sort of training, bond making, whatever, there's a possibility. But if it is something that's optional, and I truly appreciate that this one was made optional, I can't stand the notion of being guilty of making glazed carrots. I think then you might want to check beforehand to see whether it's a reasonable thing to do and whether the people are indeed interested in it.
Yeah, so I mean, that's more the feedback about it, the general principle of how to organize something like that, I mean, which is not bad, although we must pick up on that at some point. But really, in some ways, I'm after a question is, do people think we should still carry on with tomorrow? Carlos?
The leadership group had this same experience the week before, so it is a bonding experience, and it's part of the training, but having subscribed to the meeting, I have a very early flight on Saturday, so I wouldn't mind going earlier to bed. This is just to give you my vote, because I'm one of the 10 people who are ready to participate. It was a wonderful experience, but I really have to wake up very early.
Quick show of hands, of the people here, who's currently going? So we've got most of the 10 who are going, and how do you feel about, I mean, any of you, do you feel, I just want to get a sort of straw man of, how would you feel if we cancelled it?
I haven't hung up my heart on it, so it would be nice, but if there's only 10 people attending, I think the purpose of the entire exercise is a bit defeated.
So I think, Marika, go ahead.
This is Marika. We're just looking into as well on whether we're going to incur any cost or whether, you know, we can even cancel. So maybe we can confirm official cancel. Because, I mean, if we're going to pay anyway, then those that want to come, you know, can still come, noting that it's optional. But if we indeed can cancel without any cost, we'll go ahead and...
Fine, I think we've got the steer. Sorry, Heather, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. I just wanted to say, I've said this offline, but I apologize. I'm not able to be there, and it's only because I was only elected to council on Monday, and I have a flight that's been booked for some time, so forgive me. But I would like to second Carlos's comments, having experienced last week. In any event, I just wanted to make that clear that this isn't, I'm not blowing anything off on my first day at council.
Marika.
And this is Marika. And I think for a more general conversation, we do need then to have the conversation, because we basically followed the format that we did in Buenos Aires with everyone, I think, really seemed to enjoy and appreciate. So we followed on that concept, and that's why we organized it and have made arrangements. So, you know, ideally, of course, we should have had this conversation maybe earlier. But it's for if we want to go ahead with the meeting and the same concept for the next fiscal year, we should probably get clarity on that. Is that something we should foresee and plan for, or whether indeed it's too much? Because, I mean, I understand that everyone has been here for a very long time already.
So those would be my three takeaways. If we're committed to it, we'll let you know, and whoever's has committed should go. If we can cancel, I'm getting a steer that actually people haven't hung their heart on it, as Volker said, so we're all right to cancel it. And next time round, we'll think a little bit more about how we handle it in terms of getting commitment. All I'd say to you is just, and this is not to be defensive, but just to let you know, these kind of things are, they're always a challenge to organize. I mean, we struggled with venue options. There's a whole lot of, you know, paddling under the water that one doesn't necessarily realize it's gone on. And in the end, you sort of get together with some kind of compromise that feels right, and ideally it would be shared with and commented on, but it's not always possible for a whole number of reasons. So it was a good faith effort to find something that worked. And just to put my personal perspective on, I'm not going, even though I was going. I've been called back to duty, and so I have to leave a day early. So I had planned to go. I've had to pay more to change my flight, and it's rather sad for me because I'm an enthusiastic chef. So. All right, so although that had no influence on the choice of the activity, I might say. At one point it was going to be a murder mystery party or something. All right. I know. In true life, they die. All right. This supply skill sets for two GNSO council positions to nominating committee. I don't think we need to go into this here now. This should really be on the action list, not on the. But we can pull something off, unless I'm not sure this is an open topic. Anyone want to? I mean, I've been asked by the existing chair, the incoming chair of the nominating committee, just to give an indication of a skill set or, you know, desirable skills of NomCom appointees. So if anyone has any suggestions, I think we can just pull together a thread on list, and I'll then do some kind of edit and write it back to them. So, Marika, that's on the action list. Yeah, okay. Schedule of meetings for next year. What's to discuss here? I mean, typically we have to publish them. I think we've got a deadline to publish them within a month of the annual general meeting. So I guess what we will do, the way we would normally do this, is plan out a series of meetings. They'll be at approximately 3 or 4 week intervals, probably 4 week intervals with a break over August, and we'll give you an opportunity to feedback. And if everyone says they can't make it, inevitably one or two won't be able to make one or two meetings. But if there's a strong problem with one particular meeting, we'll shift it and modify it. Yes, Marika.
It isn't, Rick. Maybe just to flag that there may be a need for January to schedule a couple of additional meetings just to have them on the calendar to anticipate a possible proposal for the IANA transition. So we may just slot that in so we have it and then, yeah, exactly.
That's a good point. Because of the particular and unique nature of the overlying work, there's probably need for a couple of placeholders, so that can be sorted out in January. Yes, Osvaldo.
Just to make a note that January for the Southern Hemisphere is very similar to August for the Northern Hemisphere. It's our holiday season month, and usually most offices are closed on January also.
It's a very valid point, and it's take it. I'm just not quite sure how to respond to it. I'm totally sympathetic and appreciative, especially since I'll be in the Southern Hemisphere in early January. But all right, so we have to appoint new liaisons for the following working groups. Again, I would suggest we just bang out a set of emails with each of these and look for volunteers on a per working group basis. If there's any in there that particularly strike you, or that you're already working on, perhaps, and you may be willing to act as liaison to the council. Marika, would you mind saying, or anyone else, if they feel so willing, to describe the function of a liaison, just to make it clear what people are volunteering for?
It is, Marika. I think the liaison serves a two-way purpose. On the one hand, the liaison is supposed to be the intermediary between the working group and the council, should the working group have any questions concerning the scope, or if they have any identified any issues that they don't exactly know how to deal with and that need council consideration. And I think on the other hand as well, the liaison serves a purpose to keep the council informed as needed if they see any particular issues, and if there's specific questions from the council, to be able to provide that input, for example, at during council meetings. From the practice so far, I don't think there has been there have been many occasions where liaisons had to actively get involved either one way or the other. So it's a relatively passive role and hopefully shouldn't take too much time. I think the expectation is that a liaison does stay up to date with what the working group is looking at and its activities, but does not necessarily have to be on every single call and put in a lot of time in doing the actual work of the working group, but it's really to have someone that is able to be that intermediary, whether it's from the working group to the council or from the council to the working group.
Thanks. So I think I can't see if Glenn's still there beyond Lars. She's gone. Okay, so I think we will ask Glenn to put a series of emails out calling for it. Marika?
Yes, I think for the liaisons that's fine, but maybe we can talk about the chairs that we're looking for, as well as I think the GNSO council liaison to the CCNSO, who maybe have more active and formal roles. That's I think the last three, and then there's as well four, just maybe to mention the geographic regions working group. That is actually a process that's already trying to conclude for quite some time, and I'm almost trying there to say that's probably the longest running working group ever. And there, I think Ching was serving as the council rep. The challenge there is that they basically have, I think, concluded their work and just trying to submit the final report. So it doesn't necessarily need someone to reopen it, but it probably does need someone. And I see Cheryl's hand is up.
Cheryl?
I've been asked to serve as the chair of that now to put it to bed, so perhaps I could wear a couple of hats and just deal with it.
Thank you. Any objections? Thank you, Cheryl. That's great. That ticks one off the list. Council, we've got a GNSO council co-chair for the CWG principles. That's quite an interesting area, and it's obviously very topical. Marika?
Yeah, and this is Marika. For that specific one, although in the project list, we do identify that as GNSO council co-chair. I've spoken to John Barrard, and he's willing, if the council agrees, to continue in that role, as that group is already as well, like halfway through their process. So unless there are, I think, significant objections or someone else wanting to take on that role, maybe you can consider keeping John Barrard in that capacity.
Any questions, reservations? Okay, so that sounds like that's a done deal there. CWG to develop a framework for use of country and territory names as TLDs. Heather?
Thank you, Jonathan. The cross-constituency working group met this morning. I'm pleased to report that it was a fruitful discussion. I think one very unique aspect of the discussion is the involvement of a member, or indeed the author of the GAC proposal on geographic names. One thing that, let's say, there's two things to say. Number one, I'm not sure what council processes are here. I was a GNSO representative on the working group. Ching's departure meant we lost a second GNSO co-chair, and we had discussions to the extent that it would be helpful if this was a council member so that reporting could happen more easily. At the time, I, of course, did not anticipate that we would naturally have a council member who was a GNSO representative or co-chair. I would strongly encourage that we have a second co-chair from the GNSO. We're quite a geographically disparate group, and I think it would facilitate the work to have two. And, of course, the GNSO is a big group. I think it would be very useful to have another co-chair from the GNSO, and I fully support that. Am I able at this point, Jonathan, as well, to ask a few questions in relation to the working group?
Just like I'd like to clarify something. You are a co-chair of that working group, and you are proposing that we have an additional GNSO co-chair.
We had, yes, Jonathan, we had each, the CCNSO and the GNSO, two co-chairs. Ching and I were co-chairs, and with Ching's departure, and indeed there's been shifting within the CNSO as well, in fact, we're calling for new co-chairs from both CCNSO and GNSO.
Cheryl, I know you've got your hand up, and perhaps my intuition is that four co-chairs is clumsy. The only reason we had two co-chairs was because both you and Ching volunteered and we're both similarly enthusiastic. I just pose the question why we don't just drop it down to a co-chair, one each from CCNSO and GNSO. But that's, Cheryl, did you have something different?
Only just to declare that I serve on that working group. If there's any particular use of just noting that that means you've got another person in the game, then please feel free to do that.
So unless it's my proposal, I think, to you, Heather, and to others, unless it's a kind of arms race or where we have to have two co-chairs from each side, how about we have one from each?
I'll speak to that point, Jonathan, and do so indirectly, and in so doing get to another point that I'd like to raise. The study group was a CCNSO initiative, the study group that preceded this group. We're still, if you like, under the CCNSO banner. The meetings have consistently, from the study group onward, and of course in the study group there was a reason for it, have been much more heavily attended by CCNSO than GNSO. I personally, speaking in a personal capacity here, have significant concerns given the importance of this issue to the community. We need more GNSO participation, and I do believe that given the background of this working group, it would be more useful to have a second co-chair from the GNSO. I think there are strategic reasons for this, to ensure that our voice is heard and to help me in my so far useless attempts to get more GNSO participation.
Well, the point is, couldn't be more clearly made. Then let's put out a call for a second co-chair, if we don't have a volunteer here. All right, we'll do that to support you on that, Heather, and well made. Any other comments or questions, Carlos? Go ahead.
May I make two more points very quickly, Jonathan? One thing is to point out for those who weren't in this morning's meeting, I think it needs to be said, and clearly so, there are two separate tracks on this issue. The GAC is working on this issue, and part of what came out of this morning was a clear identification of the fact that these two tracks overlap. I have concerns about the lack of acknowledgement more broadly of the GNSO's role in the policy development process here. This really will fall on our feet, and I think that message needs to be communicated more clearly. And I think the GNSO Council also needs to be aware that there is a GAC member. Argentina, the GAC member from Argentina, is participating in this group, and that has an impact on the group's outcome and this sort of thing. So hence, again, I would like to emphasize that GNSO members should be participating in this group. Thanks, Jonathan.
Okay, we're forming up a queue now. First, I had James. Who's the lady in there?
Thank you, and first off, apologies. The ICG interaction ran very late, so I apologize for coming in so late. And I wasn't clear if we had already selected someone for the privacy proxy, or what's known as the PPSAI, group to replace Maria. I'd be happy to do that. For convenience purposes, I'm very active in the group. Excuse me, I don't really typically miss a call. However, again, I would point out I'm very active in the group. So if that's a problem, you know, just let me know. But if no one's rushing to fill that role and keep the council updated on the work of that group, I'd be happy to fill in. Thanks.
Thanks, James. We hadn't selected someone, so your name can go in the ring. I think Heather's making a really important point. And is there someone else in the queue?
Yes, there was a... I'm sorry, I don't have your name yet.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, Volker. So, Heather, I think my question is, is it the understanding that that working group is going to feed into next round? Is that kind of where the discussion's going, or...?
Let me help you for a moment, Heather, and see if I get... I mean, Donna, this has dawned on me a little bit, and what seems to be happening is that the GAC's doing a bunch of work on the same subject. As Heather pointed out, there's a prospective overlap between the work that we're doing. Now, the GAC is an advisory committee in the ICANN group, and here they are appearing to do a bunch of self-initiated policy work. They haven't passed it over to one of the supporting organizations to initiate. They appear to be doing something on their own. So this is an interesting issue, what they might expect to be done with this and how it... So that I think is the sort of political problem, if you like. Lars, did you have a point, or have you got someone on remote? I'm going to go ahead, and then Heather may want to come in after that, and anyone else. Avery, sorry.
Hi, this is Amar, and so sorry, I don't mean to interrupt the current line of discussion. Well, since James just mentioned he'd be willing to step in for the PPSAI, and I was going to recommend either he or Volker take on the job. I'd also like to volunteer for the translation and transliteration PDP if no one else wants a job. Thanks.
Great. So we've got Heather, Avery, and then Thomas, is it?
Thank you, Jonathan. Merely to agree with you, I think this is a sleeping issue. There was zero acknowledgement this morning until I spoke up and specifically made the point, the timeline of this group, of the cross-community working group, needs to align with our own work in the GNSO in terms of new GTLD policy development processes. And B, that under the bylaws, the responsibility lies with the GNSO. This worries me. And having GAC participants involved in a cross-community working group, in having a completely parallel track within the GAC with a proposal authored by one GAC member or a handful of GAC members, I think there's communication needed on this.
Avery.
Thank you. Avery speaking. I guess I'm being a little slow to understand the problem. One of the things is we are encouraging GAC to participate in as many of our working groups and cross-community working groups as is possible. So while there could be issues with the way in which a particular person at various times in various working groups may participate, I'm not sure I understand the problem there. And then on the second side, I guess I need to understand more. The GAC can only give advice. Now, if they have working groups within the GAC, call them what they will, within the GAC to figure out what their advice is, or perhaps even standing behind the person that's participating. In fact, one of the things I've always thought about the GAC that said, we can't participate because we are not representatives, that one person could actually participate and have a group behind them. So, I mean, I don't understand how it's working, but I don't see it as a problem in itself from the descriptions I've seen, unless there's something in the dynamics, in the politics that's making it one. But in looking at it flatly and sort of from very much outside, I don't understand.
Let me have a stab. Anyone else is welcome to try. But I mean, as Heather said, the bylaws ask us to make the policy in relation to generic domains. I think if the GAC was doing something which was recognized that implicitly or explicitly, and that it was clear that their work was designed to inform their advice should there be policy work in this area, that would be okay. Unfortunately, it's not clear yet that that's the case. It's not clear how their work integrates with the policy work. And if it's and so, in a sense, it's perhaps the first step is to ask that question. And so that because it appears at the face of it that there's GAC work on policy going on.
Why,
Thomas?
Why do we assume it's that? I mean, is there some indicator that makes us think that it's not just to inform their advice? I'm just curious.
So we've got Thomas, Volker, Donna.
I just wanted to offer myself as a volunteer for the CCNSO council liaison thing. I think we're not really following the order anyway, so I think everybody picks something from the menu, isn't it?
Look, it's great that we're actually picking off those items on the menu because it looks like that menu is getting nice and thin now. So, but we do have another thread running, which I suspect Volker and Donna are.
Moving back to the topic, I think this is one of the areas where, while the policymaking responsibility lies with the GNSO, the information from the GAC or individual GAC members can be very valuable, because I don't think there's any policy issue out there currently being discussed that is so intimately tied to national interests as country names and territory names as parts of TLDs. And having the GAC or individual GAC members work in this working group from the start, participate, share their opinions, voice their objections, which may later lead to GAC advice that might conflict with this, is very valuable. The earlier we have their voice heard, their participation, the better. And it might be disruptive to the work, but it will help in the end.
Now, let me make a point, just in case it's not clear. We have a country and territory names working group that's doing its work. I have no idea what the level of GAC participation or not in that. Independently of that work, the GAC is doing their own work on country and territory names with their own working group. And I think the concern is the lack of coordination or understanding of the interrelationship between the two. Please.
But I thought you said that there was at least one member of the GAC participating in a cross community. Sorta.
The participation in the cross community working group, clearly from a cross community working group, is great and to be welcomed, as Volker said. The concern is that in addition to that, there's an entirely parallel piece of apparently policy oriented work going on outside of that cross-community working group, and without coordination or discussion how they link.
Donna, you're next in queue.
Thanks, Volker. So just to the point that the GAC only provides GAC advice, it's not actually theoretically correct. The GAC over the years have also developed guiding principles on a number of issues. Who is new GTLDs, delegation, redelegation. Now, maybe they're going down that path. Maybe this is what this document will end up be, a set of guiding principles. And my understanding with when they did this for the new GTLDs, that was actually taken into account during the policy development process. Now, I understand at the end of that, when it came to, you know, the GAC still wasn't happy with a number of issues, that's where the GAC scorecard and all that stuff came into account. But I don't know that we need to be kind of hysterical about this at this point in time. If it is a principles document, then I think that's fine for them to develop that within their own within the GAC. I guess, you know, if it does go up as GAC advice, then that could create some problems. But I think we just, maybe the hysteria level at this point in time is a little bit unwarranted.
Thank you, Donna. Anybody else who would like to chime in on this topic or any others of the topics that we have?
Mason.
Carlos? And then
I just had a question if it's on Mason called radar, this issue.
That's just, I was just about to have the radar go off on this issue, so yes. Yeah, I think it would probably be useful for me to speak with the GAC about where they are on this issue and see if we can get better coordinated. Does the council agree?
Mason, I'm going to be like a stuck record on this. I would say this is in. I mean, I don't know yet whether that's the right thing to do. I would be we've got. I was going to suggest that this is something we bring up with the chairs at the first meeting with the chairs, and I think you should be at those meetings with the chairs. So to that extent, yes. But if you remember, you know, this remit of the liaison is what's going on in the GNSO. We're here to tell you, and I accept that that may involve sometimes relaying things back. But I think we've got to be very careful we don't channel it all through you.
I agree with that. I don't. I'm not suggesting that I broker a deal between the GNSO and the GAC.
All right. So it's certainly something we should use either Mason or whichever channel. Sorry, Tony.
I was just going to say that I agree with Donna. I think we should keep this fairly low. I don't see it as a big issue for us at the moment. So let's keep reasonable about it.
Right, so we're done with the Q&A. Make no mistake, there was no hysteria involved or intended, but I do think it's something we should just be aware that there's something. And Donna makes a good point, the reference to the principles in the past. So knowing and understanding that that's been done, that's a good point.
Gabby? Just to add that I was in that meeting this morning, and actually, as Donna says, it was mentioned that the purpose was to actually create some kind of principles. So it's in that line, I think.
Okay. So I think we've perhaps gone as far as we can on those sub-bullets on chairs and the issues that throws up. I'm going to skip down one to another chair point, which is the interim chair on the accountability drafting team. We've made a call for participants in that drafting team. We've had a number of volunteers come forward. The GNSO has actually ended up with 3 or 4 prospective volunteers. The other groups, we did ask for only 2 per group. Yeah, my suggestion is that we let everyone go along, and if the other groups object, we turn them into alternates or let people drop out. If the other groups don't object, then and we can just offer that option, say we've got more volunteers, but if anyone's got any concerns about that, that's my temptation. Go ahead, Avery.
I just want to say, since I was in the previous one, if anyone has to drop out or become an alternate, I'm more than willing to do so.
Thanks. So, and then the next thing we've got is we have a need for someone to step up as for one of those volunteers to step up as a chair or co-chair of that group. So, Thomas, I don't know if this is something you'd consider. I mean, we can maybe have a word offline with Keith if he feels strongly that it's something he wants to do. But I guess this is a test for the council. If anyone's got any views about any strong feelings in either way, about you know how we feel about, or if you're willing to do so, Thomas.
I'd suggest I reach out to Keith, and if he wants to do the chairing thing, that's okay. Otherwise, I would volunteer to do that part, if that's okay for everybody.
Any concerns or objections with that? I mean, I think we need to get something going with this. Avery, you.
I was just saying, I've already semi-dropped out, so why would I care?
All right, well, here's my suggestion to Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika, indeed, just to know that group is expected to already meet next week, so and it would be good if Thomas and Keith speak together to get a confirmation on who's willing to take that on, so staff can work with that person as well to get things moving.
So, Thomas, you get that, right? It's urgent. Have a quick sidebar with Keith. Decide. I'll put a note out to the council. Seek any, you know, come back to the council and say, look, I'm available. Talk with Keith, he's okay, or vice versa. We'll seek objections, and I think we're going to have to do it on that basis. Thank you. Skipping back up then to groups to open up processes for IANA transition. What this is about is that the various groups that have put forward participants to deal with the IANA transition, members and or participants. The idea here is to try and make sure this whole process is as open as possible so it can't be criticized in future for not having been so. I know from my position in the registries that there has been some work done to try and ensure that others outside the registry, that the registry's processes are opened to accommodate other participants. Is anyone else aware of any other outreach or opening up of the groups to permit additional participation? It would be really good to get an idea if maybe we need to give you a specific example of what the registries have done. I don't know if Donna or Brett, either of you would be able to write something, put a quick memo to the council about what the registries have done so that others can then pick up. Would you be willing to do that, Donna? I mean, I think it's pretty much formulated on that. Would be great. Thank you. So we'll give an example of what the registries have done, and if anyone else can say, okay, now I get it, this is we can suggest this in our group, or our, it's a matter of demonstrating that and being able to show that the processes have been opened up adequately and thoroughly. Facilitated PDP working group in Marrakesh, Marika?
This is Marika. Just on the previous point, I actually note that Keith is in the chat and he nominates Thomas. So just wanted to put that on the record. On the item of the confirmed group for facilitated PDP face-to-face working group meeting in Marrakesh, I just wanted to note we already flagged this, I think, in the session on Saturday, that staff suggest that we move forward with the curator rights PDP working group, as they seem to be a good candidate. And have done some work and probably be in a good moment in their process to benefit from that session. We flagged that in the meeting that they had this week just to see if that would be something they would be open to, and it seemed that they would be very interested in pursuing that. So we just want to make sure that there are no objections to that, so we can go ahead with planning, as we do need to give people a early heads up that they may be expected to stay, come a day early or stay a day longer, depending on when it would be organized. So it's basically kind of a last call. Does anyone have any concerns if we move forward with that working group to organize that session for?
Yes, I think it's, I stated that before, this is a very helpful procedure, a helpful new plan. And the only thing that we should take into account that these the definition of which working group we take should be made at as an earliest point possible, probably ideally before ICANN requests the travel plans for all participants of the ICANN meeting, i.e. as soon as possible, next week maybe, something like that, because otherwise travel plans are set already and many participants cannot come because they have booked for later dates.
You'll be very pleased to see the following bullet then, Volker. Timely confirmation of travelers to Marrakesh. Marika, just flipping mentally back to that previous point, do you know if we've captured on the action list the requirement to send a message of thanks and well wishes to Heather and to welcome the new GAC chair and vice chairs? Is that on the action list already?
On my list that I still need to put into the...
As long as it's in the wiki. It's in the pipeline.
It is in the pipeline.
Great. Reminder of logistics for GNSO Council development session tomorrow. Comment or question?
Yeah, this is Marika, still on the previous point on the confirmation of travelers. Just Glenn would like to flag that.
What's the point?
Travelers to the next ICANN meeting in Marrakesh. If you could please, I sent out a note this morning to the heads and secretariats of the various constituencies and stakeholder groups, that we need the names of the supported travellers by the 10th of November. The rule is 90 days before the beginning of the meeting, and from the travel team, I have got the 10th of November as being the date when you have to let me know who from your groups is going to be supported. With the Marrakesh meeting, take into account, please, like with a lot of other countries, but particularly perhaps for Morocco, that visas have to be obtained, and that this is always a complicated and long process. So please, if you can, insist that you get the names to me by the 10th of November. Thank you. The constituency, yes. Yes. And it is usually the constituency itself that each constituency has its own way of choosing the supported travellers.
Okay, so presumably that note goes out, Glenn, to the chairs of the groups as well. I mean, you're asking the councillors to assist with that and make sure that happens, but it's gone out to the chairs and
the note has gone out this morning to the chairs of the groups, Jonathan. Yeah.
Okay, so on the logistics of tomorrow's meeting, I mean, this is essentially we're departing 9 from the lobby here. Glenn, can you?
Yes, we're departing at 9 o'clock from the lobby with the bus to the office, and then the meeting will start at 10 o'clock, but we have to leave here at 9 o'clock to make sure that we'll get there at 10 o'clock, and there will be coffee and pastries when we get there.
Wonderful. Okay, that's good to know. So there's not necessarily a need to have breakfast beforehand.
Exactly, unless you want to have something different for breakfast. And
the idea is to gather for a few minutes beforehand to discuss anything informally, especially for new councillors, people who are new, to ask anything that immediately crops up to you before we sort of hunker down and start going through the agenda of the day. And then we're going to wrap up around 5:36, and depending on what the cancellation conditions with the evening meal are, we'll come back to you with what's happening there. What else, if anything, needs to be covered in this wrap-up?
Do you want to say that we probably can't cancel?
Just a sub-point that we skipped down from. I would like to volunteer to organize the next meeting's schedule. After David has done such an admirable job for this meeting, I think it's my turn again.
Thanks, Volker. Glenn?
Jonathan, I don't think that we are able to cancel the cooking classes without paying a substantial amount of money.
Marika?
Yes, it is, Marika. So I think it looks indeed that the payment we have made we're going to incur. So basically, whoever wants to come, but if, I can imagine that some may feel less enticed to come along. So, but please let us know, because we do need to probably give them final numbers. I think there will be at least 5 people from staff, so if you like hanging out with staff. So the GNSO team will be there. So, it is a really fun experience. So
We've committed to it. I think don't be so. So, I mean, it's great. And those that were signed up, I'm sure, will want to go. I mean, it would be great if we could all go. But I'm sure those that have committed and would like to go, if it's not cancelable, I got a sense that it'll be a fun thing to do. And so let's not pretend it won't be. Any other, if we missed anything else that anyone else would like to cover? All right, great. Thank you all. Thanks for the participation on the weekend through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and tomorrow. Osvaldo?
No, just an information. I excuse myself for arriving late because I had to go to a signing of a top-level domain, one of the new ones. Today we signed the first Latin American and Caribbean region's top-level domains in ICANN.
Wonderful. Congratulations. Okay, great. That's it. We'll call that a wrap and see you all through the course of the afternoon, but certainly at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning in the lobby of the Hyatt. Thanks.